This podcast is a publication of the Engineering Management Institute, where we are committed to building professional development systems, including project management and people leadership programs that support the growth of engineers and their firms. Download our AE Industry Trends Report for insights on the Great Resignation, remote work productivity, and people-centric cultures. To get your copy, visit engineeringmanagementinstitute.org.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Women in Engineering, success stories from STEM professionals. In this episode, I'll be talking with L'Oreal Stephanie, PE, a distinguished board member of the Texas Water Development Board, about her unique journey from aerospace to civil engineering, her impact on water management and public service in Texas, and her dedication to mentoring future engineers. I am your host, Tiffany Tichy, a senior mechanical engineer, STEM advocate, TEDx International speaker, and an internationally recognized author of children's books, including What Can I Be? STEM Careers from A to Z, and STEM Crew Kids Adventure Series. I'm also the Read It Right radio show host on WDRB Media, owner of Thrive Edge Publishing, and owner publishing consultant of Inspired Authors Publishing. And with that, let's jump right into today's episode. Today, I have with me L'Oreal Stephan. L'Oreal, welcome to the Women in Engineering podcast.
Thank you, Tiffany, for having me. I really appreciate the invitation. I look forward to the discussion in the Women in Engineering podcast.
Yes, yes. Well, let's go ahead and get it started. Can you tell us more about your career journey from obtaining a bachelor's in aerospace engineering to a master's in civil engineering at the University of Texas at Austin? What inspired this transition?
Well, I made the career change due to downsizing of the aerospace industry in Austin at the time. And that's been over 30 years ago. And so now aerospace has gone through a resurgence. But I was looking for, you know, a job opportunity where I could utilize my engineering skills, but also try something different. So I had the opportunity to move to a small state agency called the Air Control Board. And that's where I found my calling. It was an opportunity to learn something new, learn about environmental protection engineering, protecting our air resources in the state. And I found it to be very rewarding. I also really wanted to be the expert. And so a few of my coworkers and I decided to pursue a master's degree. And it was great because we all did it together. So we hopped in a van 3 times a week and drove to the University of Texas at Austin to pursue our civil engineering degree. With the focus, of course, on environmental engineering. And I think looking back, the additional education really supported my long-term career choice. And it's been great having that additional master's degree under my belt.
Wow, I love it. I love it. I mean, to have that experience and be able to transition, you know, from two different types of engineering to have that skill level, I think it's amazing. So thank you for sharing
that.
Thank
you.
Yeah. So how did you navigate your path from air permitting to the Office of Water in the Texas Commission for Environmental Quality?
Well, this was a seismic shift for my career. I said yes to truly, truly an unexpected opportunity to take a manager role in water pollution regulation before there was even at the agency the consideration of an Office of Water. So I moved to a division. And I'll be honest with the listeners, I knew nothing about water regulation. I had only begun my career 8 years earlier. I was only an engineer in training. I didn't have my full professional license at the time, but I decided to take the leap. I decided to rely on the skills that I'd built over the years working in air permitting. I also understood some fundamental truths about regulation and that I understood about process and project management. And so I built upon those existing skills that I had in order to learn the technical requirements for the new position. And so it was very, very important to me, again, to become the expert and to train myself and to study hard and, again, taking that leap of faith. Eventually, I became a professional engineer. And over time, when I demonstrated my leadership abilities, my technical abilities, our agency's executive director asked me to create the Office of Water from scratch. And it was solely focused on meeting the needs of Texas with respect to water.
Well, I think that's important. You know, the fact that you're saying you're meeting the needs, and that's what it's about. Definitely. And from a safety perspective, you know, I mean, it's impactful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So
kudos to all that you're doing from that end. Now, let's talk about your engineering background. Now, how do you feel your engineering background has contributed to your success as a board member?
Well, the Texas Water Development Board is a 3-member board, and our board consists of one attorney, a financial person, and an engineer, and I serve in the engineering position. So I truly believe that my engineering training has helped me tremendously in this capacity. Tiffany, you know this, engineers are taught to solve problems. We have the ability to understand complex issues. We have the ability to adapt to change rapidly. And all of those underlying skills that you learn going through your undergraduate and maybe even master's and PhD programs are utilized in the job like this. And I'm so thankful that I had that training and that background to serve in this capacity. I can utilize all of those same skills and to expand my understanding and to be responsible and make a difference in this new role.
And that's amazing. I mean, bringing all those skill levels is important. I think that's awesome that you're doing that. So talk to us about public service. 30
yes.
years. Man, that's amazing. So what has yes. fueled your commitment? I mean, to dedicate more than 30 years to public service?
Oh, thank you so much for that question. I believe that public service is a noble profession. I see it every day with the commitment of dedicated professionals who hone their craft and are just completely committed to serving the people of Texas, whether that's through providing funding for a small community to build a well to provide safe drinking water, or developing standards to protect our streams and rivers and lakes in the state, or in my case, managing the worst 1-year drought on record, completely impacting our water supply and our economics in the state. In general, I've found the work to be interesting, and more importantly, as a public servant, I found the work to be purpose-driven and rewarding. You're helping your neighbor. You're helping them ensure that there's a secure water future for Texas and for their families and community.
And that's important as far as the community, the family, like the impact that you're making. I think that's the biggest piece that you shared. And those are things you consider, you know, when it comes to the whole public service part of things. And, you know,
yes.
when you look back, you know, when you started your career, did you ever imagine being in a public service for over 3 decades?
No, not at all. I envisioned working in public service for 5 years. And I said, I'll become vested in 5 years, and then I'll use this as a training ground, and I'll go off and work for an industry or consulting or, you know, some other field. And so I'm completely floored that 5 years turned into 10, turned into 20, turned into 32 March 1st. So it's been I've been given many opportunities to make change. I've been given many opportunities to push myself out of my comfort zone and to just really make a difference. And so it's been a very impactful set of decisions I've made to remain in public service. Impactful for me, my family, and hopefully the community that I serve.
I think for the time that you've put in, the work that you've done, I think you've put in that time to make sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so thank you for all that you're doing and continue to do. So as you talk about this, you know, commitment and starting and everything, you know, was there any unique opportunities that you see for engineers within the public sector? What unique opportunities do you see for engineers within the public sector?
I don't know that many folks know that there's a tremendous need in the public sector for engineers, whether that's at your local city, county, parish level, or at the state level, or even at the federal level. There's just a huge need for engineers. You know, we have engineers that review plans and specifications for small and large projects. We have engineers to ensure that the regulations are met. We have engineers that are needed to ensure that any financing that we provide, you know, the money's going to be used in the appropriate manner to meet all of the requirements and ultimately provide safe drinking water for communities, or the wastewater is treated appropriately. And so at the Texas Water Development Board, we provide funding for those things. And so having engineers, as an example, in the public sector, we need engineers to ensure that everything that we're funding is appropriate. And there's just a big problem and shortage of engineers in the public sector right now. And so that's one of my goals in this position, is to increase the awareness of the need for engineers in public service and particularly in the water sector. We need you. Texas, for example, is growing to 51 million people by 2070. So it's over a 70% increase, and there's millions and millions of acre feet of water that are needed to sustain our communities. So please, for those engineers listening that want to be a part of a purpose-driven profession, consider public service.
Love it. Yeah, the fact that there's a shortage out there, I mean, and there's a need for jobs, that people, that there's opportunities out there, I think that's the biggest thing. So way to push it, because if there's a need out there, these engineers need to know and people need to know. So I'm glad that you're encouraging it as well. So kudos. Now let's talk about, you know, we've talked about the unique opportunities, but can you discuss what drew you to the water industry? You know, there's so many different types of industries, but water industry and the importance it holds for the future. And I know you've been sharing the importance of it, but can you go and, you know, discuss what drew you to the water industry and as well as the importance of it holds in the future?
I think from a career development standpoint, I really fell into the water industry by happenstance. And I said yes. So for those newly graduated engineers out there, from a career development standpoint, I said yes to an opportunity. Even though I really didn't know a lot about the opportunity, I just said yes. So I fell into it, and then I fell in love with it. And if you think about it, Tiffany, water impacts everything we do. We need drinking water, safe drinking water to come out of our taps at our homes. You know, we need water to drive our industries from a makeup water standpoint to cooling industrial processes. We need water to serve as the raw materials for commercial endeavors. And then, of course, from a food production standpoint, from an agriculture standpoint. So water planning is vital, water supply, water quality, and securing those available resources is absolutely critical and important. And so it's a huge opportunity for innovation and for engineers. And so we need all of those folks, all hands on deck in this profession.
Love it. All hands on deck. I mean, all hands on deck to make sure that they're fulfilling the needs for the water industry. And I love how you was able to break down all the different types of how water makes an impact in it as
well. Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we talk about that, let's go back to the whole young engineers. Yes. What specific advantages does a career in the public service government offer to young engineers in the water sector itself?
Well, there's lots of benefits, lots of opportunities. First, I would say work-life balance. You know, most of the time in the public sector, there's some times when the engineers have to work longer hours, but generally speaking, normal work week, right? You can put in your time and then go home and visit with your families or your friends or whatever your parents. All of those things are important that kind of fulfill us from a whole person standpoint. And so in the public sector, typically you have time to do that. Also, I know at our agency, we have a hybrid work environment. So there's flexibility there. For young engineers, there's an opportunity at our agency, as well as others, to become the expert in your field. I know that certainly was my case. I had folks who were investing in me and helped me become a professional engineer. And I think that's really important. I would encourage all of our young engineers to pursue their professional license. And in the public sector, I believe that you're supported in that endeavor. And then finally, I would say there's such a need for innovation to meet the needs and water challenges that are out there. It's an opportunity to come in on the ground level, be creative and make change. So I think all of those things are really what the public sector can offer young engineers.
Amazing. Amazing. The opportunities are out there, like you said, all hands on deck, and be able to know that they're able to take advantage of those, I think is key. So thank you for putting that. Our young engineers, there's opportunity. And so I love
There's opportunities, opportunities. Yeah.
And the whole work-life, I call it work-life integration. So I love how
actually,
you mentioned it.
I have to use that, work-life integration.
Integration or work-life harmony. So
work-life harmony. I love it.
Yes, yes. So I love that you mentioned that because that's important. I mean, being able to do that in the flexibility side of things. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I think also, you know, us as engineers, we're creative people as well. Mm-hmm. And we like to create things. We like to innovate. We like to be on the cutting edge. And there's opportunities in the public sector for that.
Yep. Innovation is key. Now, let's transition to mentoring. How can mentoring play a critical, you know, role in inspiring our young engineers to pursue careers in public service or government, especially in the context of the water leadership that you're talking about?
Well, Tiffany, mentoring is so important, and you may, as I have, had some informal and formal mentors along the way. These are people who, even if they didn't know they were my mentors, they were. I was writing down those nuggets, those gems of wisdom along the way for 30 years. And so it's so important to me to be able to offer that to our engineers and our staff in general at the two agencies that I've been a part of for the last 30 years. So over, I would say in the last 4 years, when I was at the previous agency, I developed a mentoring program. Everybody was encouraged to participate at every level of the organization. And more recently, this month, we kicked off our inaugural mentoring program at the Texas Water and Development Board with the same premise. Everyone has an opportunity to reach out, select a mentor, get career advice, network, build bridges, go across organizational lines. And we've already had an outpouring of support, an outpouring of mentees and mentors sign up. And ultimately, I think what people don't realize is the mentor learns so much from the mentee as well. And mentees out there, find yourself a great mentor that you trust. Learn from them. Put yourself out there. Even if they're not in the same field, knowledge is never wasted. Knowledge can be learned from anyone that you respect and trust. It's so rewarding and it's so important as you're building your career.
You give us great advice. Thank you, L'Oreal. Yeah, this is good. I mean, the mentoring is key and important. And yeah, having that advice, giving someone who's in the sector or maybe not in the sector, but can still give you some advice, I think that's the key. So thank you for sharing that importance of it. Now let's go as we close to the closing parts of it. You know, what final piece of advice would you offer to engineers contemplating a move into public service to help them make an informed decision?
Well, I would say take the leap. Working in the public sector is very rewarding as an engineer, and particularly an engineer in water. As I mentioned, our population, and this is true around the country, is growing tremendously. And our communities need safe and available water to, as I mentioned earlier, to sustain families, sustain business, commerce, and agriculture. And I would say that the innovation opportunities to meet those population demands, economic growth in the water space, will also provide unbelievable growth opportunities for you as well. So what could be better? Being a humble public servant, paying it forward, and giving back. What could be better?
That's good. That's like a tagline right there. I love it. So what could be better? Well, L'Oreal, it's been a pleasure being able to share some words of wisdom and some great gems. So thank you so much for being a great guest on the show.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. And does anybody, you know, if they wanted to get in touch with you, to be able to find you, what way could they maybe get in touch with you to find you, more about you?
Well, I'm at the Texas Water and Development Board, and I'm on Twitter, but they could certainly send me an email.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you, L'Oreal, for being a great guest.
Thank you so much, Tiffany.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you won't miss our upcoming episodes featuring interviews with aspiring women engineers, discussions about industry trends, and much more. Go to womeninengineeringpodcast.com, where you will find a summary of the key points discussed in today's episode, as well as links to any of the resources, websites, or books mentioned during this episode. Until next time, make sure that your engineering endeavors be as remarkable as the women whose stories we're sharing. Stay curious, keep innovating, and engineer a better future.